from the Director Department of Health and Human Services submitting an informational report regarding the department's plan to close the Behavioral Health Division Center for Independence and Development, formerly known as Hilltop, and Rehabilitation Center Central. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, thank you very much for hearing this item. We're very excited to work together with you to create a better model of care for individuals with developmental disabilities and also mental illnesses. This is a model not only supported by you, this administration, consumers, and advocates, but it's a model that's supported by research and best practices. This is not about any incident or quality of care concern issue at BHD, or it's certainly not about saving money. It's about doing the right thing and giving individuals an opportunity to live close to their loved ones in a family of their choice, really an opportunity that's afforded to the rest of us. And it's also civil rights and a human rights issue as well. So again, we're very glad to be working with you on this. This report that you have before you provides details regarding the many activities and planning that has been conducted over the last several months. It utilizes the expertise of state and national consultants, and it shows a $4 million investment to help build that community-based mental health system that we all want to achieve. And it also lays out how we'll fund future clients to ensure that they have the proper supports needed for this transition to be successful. I want to thank Jerry Lyde and Mark, her staff, and also BHD staff for moving this forward. It's been a lot of work, a lot of passion, a lot of excitement. So with that said, I'll have Jerry say a few words to summarize the report.
Okay. Well, we've been talking about the relocation efforts. This report is really building, I think, upon a request that this committee had. We wanted to make sure you were fully informed about the activities that have been occurring since we had the committee of the whole. And I think really building upon the endorsement that the county board has had about moving the mental health system to a more community-based system. And, you know, we've continued to build upon that and moving forth with the closure for Hilltop as well as for Rehab Central. This report really focuses on the activities that we've been conducting over the last 3 months, and those activities have really involved, we had a one-day strategic planning meeting where we brought all the partners together, which included the disability advocates, our state funders, the care management organizations, BHD, to really look at lessons learned from other closures. What were the obstacles? What were the successes? What do we need to really pay attention to? And what do we need to do to be successful? This is very, very complicated, and I don't want to underscore our commitment to that, and we want you to know that we take this very seriously, because there are a number of pieces that all have to come together in order to make this work on behalf of individuals, because the county will only be developing resources and developing community resources for individuals who are non-family care eligible. So our role really is on the front end as we provide options counseling and as we augment the resources of the care management organizations. But as Mr. Colon said, 100% of the individuals who are at Hilltop will be funded by the care management organizations. And the reason we're able to do this is because we now have an entitlement in Milwaukee County that all older folks and folks with disabilities who are eligible can receive long-term support services and will not have to go into nursing homes. We worked very hard to eliminate a waiting list of 3,000 people so that they could get services and not have to look at a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And the reason why so many individuals are in institutions is because their number one was not the funding and because there was not the community-based services. But for anyone, if you have the right resources and you have the dollars available, a person can live in the community. We do not sort who needs to live in an institution and who needs to live in the community. So it is up to us to develop those resources on a person-centered approach for individuals. And so one of the things that we have now that allows us to move forward is the option and the entitlement for family care. But it also means that we have to augment those services, as we intend to do through our investments of community-based services like the Crisis Resource Center, like the consultation team that we're putting in place, also working with providers so that they understand what's going to happen. But when you talk about services like respite, when you talk about funding the residential services, those are services that family care will fund. And for individuals that are not family care, Milwaukee County will take a lead, and we will develop those resources for those individuals. We have identified a rather robust list of services that we want to fund that's in our recommended budget. We have also worked with the care management organizations so they know that we, Milwaukee County, are also very serious about this and that we are not going to absolve our responsibility. Because just as Supervisor Mayo is concerned about them, they're concerned about us. Because they recognize that we're the safety net, and they recognize where they've had to take people when they've had no other alternative. So I think we're both nervous about what each other's going to do as we walk down this path together. But we have assured them that we're going to be there, and we're going to be there in a much more robust way than we ever have before. Because up to this point, they haven't had a lot of community-based options. What they've had is to go to PCS, which is why we've seen that be at times very overcrowded. But we're going to have a variety of resources so that they will also feel more comfortable about, you know, providing services to individuals. We are bringing experts here from Atlanta, from Portland, and from Alaska, who have some very specific experience to work with our staff around developing new specialized resources for individuals. We are going to be having resource fairs for guardians to make sure that they are very aware of what all of the options are, because the guardians have an opportunity to select five different options to receive services. You have Milwaukee County Department of Family Care. You have Community Care, which offers family care. You have a partnership model. And then you have a state option for IRIS. So there are opportunities for people. They don't have to, it's not like everybody fits into a square peg, but people can select where they want to go. And then those care management organizations will work with people in developing person-centered services that meet each individual's unique needs. One of the other reasons that it's taken a bit longer, because we don't just say, this is what we have available, you fit there. We say, what do you need so that you can be successful? And what you need and what I need may be different. And from that standpoint, they develop those supports for them to see that they are going to be successful and see what they want. So we have had good discussion. The state is on board with the direction we're going. In fact, one of the priorities for the secretary is going to be how you more closely integrate mental health into the long-term support system. And that's really been driven by a lot of the discussion that the director's been having with the secretary and the need for making sure that we are moving in a seamless way for people, that we're transparent about what we want to do, and that most importantly, I think people are successful. You know, we had a one-day summit, we call it, well, really a strategic plan. And one of the consumers there said, the most important thing that was important to someone who was institutionalized was whether she could have fresh flowers in her room. Now, how simple is it to have fresh flowers in your room? You don't see any fresh flowers where she is now. That was all she was asking for. She would like some fresh flowers in her room. Those are the kinds of decisions that people will be able to make. You know, if they want to live with a roommate, they'll be able to do that. To just decide, I want to wear a pink shirt today and not a white shirt. I mean, the choices that people will have. So we're talking about some very simple opportunities that people will be able to have to live in the community. And it will be, for a lot of people, very transparent. We talked about whether they would be in licensed facilities. Many may not be. They may just be living with a friend and receiving 24-hour support. Staff will be coming in. They could be living next door to either you or I. So the goal is that people will be fully integrated in the community, that they will be citizens as you and I, and that we will treat people with respect, and we will treat people with dignity, and that they will be able to get the kind of supports that they need. Our timeline is that by the end of next year, November of 2014, that Hilltop would be closed. We would have one unit of Rehab Central. We would have 24 individuals in 2014, and then in 2015, we would continue on. And it is clearly incremental, because as we move forward with relocating individuals, I think, as Hector said, we're not going to be closing the doors if, you know, we still have people there. And I think we have to really look. There will be individuals that are going to be more challenging to develop for, and it's going to take us longer in which to do that, but we're committed to doing this right, and we're committed to making sure that all individuals get the appropriate supports that they need.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? It was a very thorough report. Thank you, Ms. Lighty. Any comments or questions from the committee? I do have several cards, I think. I know Mr. Eisner is here. Monica Hogan?
And Marion Chambers, I'm going to speak on their behalf.
Okay. Perfect. Come on down.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, County Supervisors. My name is Dave Eisner. I'm a contract administrator for District Council 48. And again, I apologize that Monica and Marion had to leave. They had prior commitments, and because of the length of the meeting, they couldn't stay. So in talking about item number 8, it kind of delves into item 7, too. The proposed 2014 departmental budget of BHD has now been released. Plans are to place 24 clients from Rehab Center Central into community-based settings by July 1st of 2014. The Center for Independence and Development, formerly Hilltop, is expected to close in 2014 by placing all of its 48 residents in community-based settings by November 1st of 2014. As of June 12th of this year, the Center for Independence and Development, formerly Hilltop, has placed 8 clients in community-based settings. 2 of those clients have returned to BHD, one back to SIDS and one to acute care. The 2013 adopted budget called for 12 clients to be placed in the community by April 1st and then an additional 12 clients to be placed by July 1st from the Center of Independence and Development. So out of the goal of 24 clients placements by July 1st, 6 have been placed. It has been observed and reported that Rehab Central patients who have been placed in the community are also returning to BHD through psych emergency and are ending up in acute care. That raises a question as to how these placements are then counted. If for purposes of the closure or downsizing or whatever, then if one's placed and then they end up back, again, the question is how do you count that? The apparent lack of success in placements in the community settings and the limited amount of placements does not bode well for BHD's optimistic plans in their 2014 budget request. It has been reported to us that there is a severe shortage of proper group homes and appropriate facilities to send residents to in the community, contrary to what administration has been reporting. Many of the residents are scared. The majority of them have no family support. We are hearing that long-term placements where clients have been inpatients at BHD for decades are having problems. There are supposed to be visits and transition done over a period of time to be able to acclimate the clients to a community setting and the community setting staff. This, we're hearing, is not occurring, and clients are just being placed. This uncertainty has heightened some of the behaviors of the patients and is causing them much anxiety. We are hearing that guardians are also upset. Because this is being approached as a closure and not a downsizing, the guardians, we're being told, have no choice in the placement of their wards. All of this information has been reported to us by staff who actually work out at BHD. So while it is recognized that reforms are needed at BHD, we strongly urge you as policymakers from Milwaukee County to thoughtfully review all aspects of this plan and to proceed with an approach that provides high-quality care, treatment, and safety for all patients, includes guardians and frontline staff at BHD in the discussion, and that whatever is ultimately decided should be done in a cautious manner with achievable results. And I just want to for Monica and Marion, their part was that they're representing over 200 frontline caregivers at BHD and caring for the community's most vulnerable citizens. The working conditions are difficult. I mean, they've got state surveyors in there, federal surveyors, the hospital's trying to get accredited during this time. The former administrator put out a kind of a threatening communication to staff early last month regarding basically if you're found to, as a result of state survey results, have some involvement in it, that you're going to be disciplined. That didn't go over real well. And former administrator, we're talking about Kathleen Eilers, had a series of town hall meetings. And at those meetings, she's basically told staff that, you know, this is a done deal, and if you don't like it, go find another job. Well, you know, unfortunately, a lot of staff did leave, and they're looking for other jobs. There was earlier discussion on an item today about, you know, having to, you know, go out and get a private nurse pool to assist out there. So far, the Ask Me positions haven't come to that, but there are staff shortages. Staff are being mandated. They're working doubles. A number of staff wanted to appear here today and testify on these items, but because of staff shortages, were unable to. The quality care is a challenge under these conditions created by administration. You know, the closure and placing of patients in community care is being planned by the county executive, and he's brought many people into the process, but the frontline caregivers have been left out. And, you know, we believe and they believe there's too much at stake in the community. The workers have determined that they will be silent no more. We here have a petition on behalf of Monica. I'll submit this, where 116 of their co-workers at BHD have signed, that are requesting that this committee hold listening sessions at BHD to hear the employee concerns. And I want to submit that to you, and they're asking and hoping that they'll see you in the future and be able to express their concerns to you personally.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any? Supervisor Stemper?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to host that meeting, so you set the date, connect with my office. Supervisor Bowen, would you like to come with me?
I'll join you.
All right. When you say you're hearing these things, and
this has been reported to not only the president of that local, but to me personally, District Council 48, because I work with that group. I have been since 2006. And, you know, there's just a lot of concerns. Most people, you know, wish to remain anonymous, but have said that if you guys come out, that they will talk to you. You know, Kathleen Eilers ran a little different show than Paula Lucy did. And just, you know, people, morale is low. I mean, they're just not real happy right now. And a lot of that just has to do, I mean, they call it a beatdown, that they were just beat down since, you know, Kathleen Eilers took over. She's just pushing an agenda and telling them, you know, you guys are gone. Just, you know, face it. You're gone, you know. And again, a number of staff have left, and I don't think, you know, management can dispute their short staff. They're trying to hire. I'm aware of, we did a repicking of CNAs from unit closures, and I think they've got 19 part-time positions now that are vacant they need to fill, and I don't know what's happening with that, but that's an issue too. That could help supplement and reduce some of this overtime out there.
Okay. Mr. Kaiser?
Pardon?
What's your name? Eisner,
yeah.
Eisner. Can you explain to me your role and how do you get this information? Are you there on a regular basis? Do they call you? Do y'all meet? What's your role?
I'm out at BHD.
Mr. Guy, I'll let you interrupt before.
I'm sorry.
Let me finish my question. I'm thinking it out, okay?
Okay.
What's your role? What's your interaction with these employees in this group, and how often is it? And is it your responsibility on their behalf to come report to us and on their requests and their concerns? And do they feel comfortable with presenting these requests and these concerns to the administration? Because I would support a meeting of that sort to hear these concerns. And also, let them understand the process and see what suggestions they would have. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. But please respond.
Mr. Eisner, go ahead and answer. Okay. Supervisor.
So I'm a contract administrator for District Council 48. That's assumed that position in May after I was done as being president of Local 594. I, as a contract administrator prior to that 7 years, I was assigned to work with Local 170, which is a group out at BHD, the CNAs, LPNs, the unit clerks, maintenance people. Back then it was food service and housekeeping. That's since changed. So I've been working with that group all along. Now, you know, with you know, basically post-Act 10, I mean, the union still functions. To me, we just don't have a contract. That's all. So, I mean, you know, so I attend grievance hearings with them. I've been at grievance hearings at BHD with the employees. I've been at disciplinary hearings at BHD for the employees. Up until Kathleen Eilers came in, we were having semi-monthly labor management meetings. Kathleen Eilers decided that she didn't want to have labor management meetings. So quite frankly, if issues, you know, pop up that rise, you know, to a higher level, we're going to end up here. Because she refuses to, she had refused to meet. She's not there anymore, and I understand that. But that's how it's been going since Paula Lucy left. She was, in fact, entertained having monthly meetings because of the urgency of these changes over at BHP. So we were left without that vehicle to meet with. As you know, as a result of post-Act 10, I mean, there are people that are dues-paying members that we represent, and then there are non-members. Those petitions signed by members, non-members, CNAs, LPNs, even some RNs signed that petitions there. So that's co-workers, employees of out at BHD. And so, I mean, they're in agreement with the statements that are on there. It's pretty much as I said to you. They want a chance to be heard, and they weren't comfortable talking to the administration under Kathleen Eilers. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where it's left.
All right, because, yeah, she presented a different story. She said, I asked her, how did the town hall meeting go? And it was a series of meetings in one day. We got to get that clear. It wasn't like she had them every month.
June 20th.
It was one day she had the meeting. So she didn't indicate any of these concerns to this extent. And we asked her. So that's neither here or there. However, I wanted that clarification, and I would be interested in hearing suggestions on moving forward, because I also want see if the director can come to explain, you know, this process and what's happening.
Sure, I would love
to. They need to know what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how to best adjust and work under what's happening under these conditions. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just add one other comment?
Sure.
Based upon a request of Supervisor Stamper, because you've been at some of those meetings, we had advocated since October through to when we kind of got fed up with what was going on. The Mental Health Redesign and Implementation Committee, we had asked to have the president of Local 170 be on there as a member, mm-hmm. and we had attended those meetings, and quite frankly, the only input we were allowed was under 10-minute comment, and for the most part, when those meetings got to it, they always overran, and at one point I even had to raise the issue that, you know, don't we have public comment? You know, we'd like to say something. And I talked about us trying to have representation on that committee, you know, to be able to, you know, have some employee input. Because, how do you redesign mental health without talking to the employees? That's what I'd like to know. That's what I raised at that meeting.
Okay.
And the chairwoman was there also, and, you know, this has been going on for months, and this is kind of, you know, come to a head.
But thank you, Madam Chair. The redesign, do you understand the goals and all the SMART goals of the redesign? There was a lot of time and effort, and do they understand the redesign plan?
They have.
That's something that needs to be explained as well. But
yeah.
But yeah, that's all. That's all.
Okay.
Okay. I am losing my quorum, and we do have one more report in front of us. We're not going to lay over item 9. They're here to. They have the staff available. They've been here all day. We need to be here all day. It's very frustrating as the chair of this committee that people don't take it seriously enough to allot the time. And in fact, I told several members, in fact, I want to say I told just about everybody, that this was going to be a long meeting because I realized that there was at least two items on this agenda that were going to be lengthy items. And so staff is here, staff's prepared to present the item, then we're going to hear the item. It actually is a timely item because it has to do with something that we've been being contacted in our offices about, which is the MHOP funding. And so I think that is it's something that we're going to hear unless there is action on it. I don't anticipate it being a lengthy report because it's being presented by somebody who didn't create the report. And so, but again, we've had questions posed to us through our offices, and I think it's who of us to hear this information so that we're able to respond.
Madam Chair, and I'll be quick. I'll just want to address some of the issues that Mr. Eisner mentioned. One, I know and respect Dave and respect his role, which is really to represent the employees. And when we look at this downsizing and disclosure initiative, it's really representing the people who deserve a better model. And that model is based on best practices and research. So that's going to be our driving force. We respect the employees very much for all that they have done to serve the most vulnerable in this county for many years. So I don't want to minimize the importance of our staff and our appreciation for everything that we do. But this is first and foremost about these people that deserve a